Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to the Fly Girl Show. This is a very important day. It's a very somber day, but we are going to do what we do on this day is pay respect to those that lost their lives on this day 19 years ago. And my guest is a United flight attendant, and we are going to reminisce, pay tribute, get sentimental, and all of the above for those lives that were lost. It was a very traumatic day, one that we will never forget. My guest today is Jacqueline Williams, and she is a United flight attendant. And she is going to tell us about the organization that she belongs to that pays tribute to black flight attendants. And we are also, as I said, to get an account of where she was and how and what she has gone through since then. So allow me to bring in my special guest, Jacqueline Williams. Good morning. Well, it's afternoon. It's still morning your time. It's afternoon my time. Hello. Hello there. How are you? And allow me to bring you in and my guest to meet you today.
Thank you, Casey. Good afternoon. It is right after noon here in Los Angeles, where I was born and raised. And just a correction, my last name is Jacquette-Williams.
Jacquette Williams. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for that correction.
You're welcome. How am I doing? I'm starting to feel a little better. My stomach has been upset all day. I've been not anticipating this day, but it is what it is. And it is what it is. I didn't mean to say it like that. It is the 19th year, and the memory is though it were this morning.
Absolutely.
Of my experience in the Newark Airport crew room.
But let me interject you one second. You already have had, so let my audience know the impact of why you are going through what you are going through, the physical impact that you're having, because you already have experienced and acknowledged this day with a tribute. So tell my audience about the tribute that you had earlier today, which is set, the stage for, once again, a very upsetting day. So please tell them about your tribute this morning.
Our tribute this morning was with members of Black Flight Attendants of America, Incorporated, of which I founded in 1974, along with former Continental Airlines flight attendants. And we formed the organization because we want to make sure that we spread the news to inner city youth and young adults and older adults looking for a second career about careers in aviation, in particular flight attendants. We also wanted to promote the legacy of Black Flight Attendants of America because we have a 50-year history going back to 1950. So some of us got together this morning at the exact same time that the first airplane hit the World Trade Center. And we had reflections, individual reflections, and personal experiences, and some that we had never known about that were shared this morning. And it was very emotional, very special, very personable. And I want to thank them again, if any of them are listening on the line, for their courageous words of wisdom and memory and specialties and emotion.
Exactly. And every day, no matter where you are as a flight attendant, I remember looking up I was on the telephone, as a matter of fact, when I saw this happening, and didn't. I thought it was a movie. I didn't understand what was happening, but those emotions still come back to me because being a flight, a retired flight attendant, we mm-hmm. all can look up at the plane and think what the girls may have been thinking, what they were doing at that time. And so it does, it touches every flight attendant, whether you just started flying or those seasoned ones. We will never forget. We will never forget. So please give us your account of what your day was like and where you were.
I had commuted on the red eye, as I normally do on a Monday night. I usually fly on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I commuted in from Los Angeles to Newark, landed somewhere around 5:45 in the a.m. My check-in was right after 9 a.m. So during that time, I was in the crew room resting. And not like your movie, but I thought it was a training film because I was in the crew room and I was at dozed off in a lounging chair, and there's a big television in the crew room, and it woke me up because there was a big roar, and I looked up and I saw an airplane crash into a building. I said, oh, this must be a training film. So I dozed back off, and then of course the next plane hit. Then we all knew that it was a real time story.
Yes.
And you know what was really devastating to me is that few minutes, maybe it was over an hour, I don't quite remember, but we were in such shock that the lead flight attendant called the crew together and said, okay, it's time to go get up on the airplane and go to Narita, Japan. We were all in shock. Nobody said, oh, there's terrorism. There are things going on.
We've been attacked.
We didn't even comprehend what was happening on the floor above us because our crew room is in the basement. So we proceeded to take the elevator to the main floor, the main concourse, got on the airplane, put away our luggage, and we had the audacity to fuss about the cockpit crew because they had not arrived. We didn't understand where they were. We're getting ready to board the airplane, and there's no way around. And all of a sudden, an agent, an airport agent, runs down the concourse onto the plane and tells us to get off, that they're looking for terrorists. They're looking for weapons. And then it kind of starts clicking in, like, huh, what? Oh, remember what we just experienced in the crew room? It's starting to click in now. So then we all got our luggage, got off the airplane, got into the gate area, and during that time, there were still payphones. Well, I had my new, brand-new cell phone, and I let people use my phone. I didn't even know who they were. I didn't know who they were calling. It didn't matter. And that was the beginning of a day of a nightmare.
Complete chaos. And a disruption of how we knew life to be at that time. And, the magnitude, how would you know the magnitude of it? You know, you were still in the old world of functioning. And now you have been brought into the new world of how we are going to be so dysfunctional.
Exactly. And you know, today there are more televisions in the concourse than there were on that day. But there were televisions on that day, and they were announcing the events as they were going on. That's when the reality started to set in.
Yeah.
Then when the airport made an announcement that they were officially closed and they were evacuating the airport, workers came from everywhere, chefs, mechanics, just all kinds of people in different uniforms. Where do you work? On the ramp, in the kitchen, in the so-and-so, in the office. And we all had to leave the airport all at the same time. It was just a devastating day.
Absolutely. Because you don't know. You're sitting there, you feel like a movie. You felt like you were a part of a movie because you didn't understand what was happening to the world. The magnitude, America had been attacked.
We were in the movie.
You were in the movie, and no one had given you the script, so you had no idea still of what was happening. So it still was so surreal to everyone, and you didn't know which way to go. we hopefully will be able to talk to some first responders, but you were there at the airport, the devastation of it, and United Airlines at that point. Well, you were Continental at the time, right?
We were Continental at the time, and I want to make a comment about what you just said about in terms of first responders, which is never, ever talked about in the media. The first responders in the air were the flight attendants. The first respondent to die on 9/11 was on an airplane when a flight attendant was protecting the entrance of a cockpit. And her throat was slashed to her death. She fell to her death. No one talks about that. And it disturbs me, and it disturbs other crew members as we reflect on that day. And it just, it's bothersome, but we know it.
But
we know
you just got it out. You just expressed it. You just made more of my listeners aware. And so, therefore, you have reached an audience for them to be
aware
and to be thankful. To be aware of who the first responder was and who they or who they were, because at that point it was others, from the one that was first killed to the other flight attendants who gathered together. And I know, as we know, as a flight attendant, they did sit in that cockpit and come up with a plan. They did.
There
they were our first heroes in this devastating day.
That's right. That's right. And in our morning meeting this morning, someone mentioned the breakdown. I think she said there were 25 flight attendants that died on that day on all three airplanes. And that's notable. It's notable information that no one notices, talks about, or acknowledges. And, again, it will always be disturbing. But thank you, listeners, for learning that. Share it.
Yes.
Embrace it. Pray on it.
Yes, acknowledging that. And that's the point. And I'm glad we got that point across, because it definitely, we do forget. And it trickles on down, because we do, they talk about, which is so devastating. And no one is ranking. We're not ranking who is more important than the other. That is not what we're saying.
Absolutely.
We're just getting giving acknowledgement, because it trickles on. It goes from this to that to the other. And the people that are left behind to mourn this day, which we will never forget. I remember also, after realizing what happened, I was frozen in my bed. I could not get out, and people were calling me, "Are you okay?" I just felt their spirit. I just felt the lives. And then you saw all the different footage of the towers being hit, and the debris, and some of that debris were people, and we later on were meant to know that, or it was defined indefinitely that's what was happening. That is what you were looking at, and what lives and what people may have been thinking during that time. But with that, let's take a deep breath and let's take a caller so we can get a comment in. Real quick, so let's see here. We have a caller. Let's see if I can bring them in so they are allowed to make a comment or add to our conversation. Hello, this is Casey Grant, host of the Fly Girl Show. Would you like to state your name and give a comment today, please? Hello? Hello? Okay, we'll move on. They're online, so maybe they just want to listen. So we'll move to the next caller and give them an opportunity. So, hello, this is Casey Grant, host of the Fly Girl Show. Would you like to please state your name, make a comment, or add to our conversation today? Well, I don't know what's happening to this today. I know we have people on. Hello?
Maybe you're having some technical difficulties.
We are having some technical difficulty, because we have two people that are definitely on today, and we can't seem to bring them in. So let me try once again and see if I can bring this guest in. Hello? Yes, I'm so upset with that because we have the switchboard is all lit up with callers. And let me see here. So bear with me, audience, please. We're just having a little difficulty. And we'll see where we can bring people in today. And I guess I don't know. I don't really know what's happening. But we're going to not let that stop the show. And we're going to keep moving on because one of the things that let me try one more person before I go back to you, Jackie, if you don't mind.
Okay. No problem.
And so, hello. Just a moment here. Let me see. Hello, this is Casey. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Oh, perfect.
Hello, Casey.
Hi there, because
hello.
We're having technical difficulty. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. This is
Diane
wonderful. Hunter.
Oh, hello there. Hello there. You, I know we know each other, but tell the audience who you are.
I am from United Airlines, originally Continental Airlines, and I was working that fateful day on 9/11, and I the comment that I would make would be that I am very emotional today about what had happened and what we're talking about. And so it's a little difficult for me to give you any real commentary, but I do recall similar instances that Jackie mentioned because I too was at the Newark airport when the disaster began. And actually we had been at our hotel and had been taken to the airport. And when we got to the airport, the news had broken, I suppose, with the hotel van that was taking us, and they drove us right back to the hotel. And that's when we really discovered what was happening and how it was happening. And it was just a terrible moment for all of the crews there. And we ended up staying at this hotel for a week practically and being away from our families with no communication and just trying to understand the brevity of all of that. So I'm a little I want to think about this for a minute, and if you want to ask me some questions or go to another caller,
The thing is that you have called in to add in your emotions and tribute to those that are lost, and you have done exactly what I wanted the listeners to do today. I know that it's an emotional day, but we pay tribute every year, and every year we're going to get emotional. So with that, I would like to say I will move on to another caller, but we're so thankful that you did take the time and gather some thoughts to call in. Would you like to say anything to Jackie? I know you two just had a very emotional Zoom meeting, so I appreciate you calling into the show and just to express your thoughts and your love and your well wishes to the families, really, is what you're doing, is allowing the families to know you have not forgotten, and that's the best that we could do.
And that's the important thing that all of us want the public to remember. Black flight attendants of America always honor and pay tribute to the fallen crews every year, and this year was no different. We had quite a quiet program this morning between us, I should say among us. But we want the families and the crews and the people that perished in that disaster to know that we have not forgotten them. They will never be forgotten, and we will not forget them. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, and I am going to move on to the next caller and give them an opportunity to express their feelings on this somber day. And so thank you so much for calling, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, okay. Continue to listen if you'd like. Thank you.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, well, Jackie, there are so many people on here. That was a break. That was good for us to be able to take a deep breath, and
yes.
Because you have had a very emotional day. So allow me to try one more person and see if I can bring them in, and hopefully we will be successful in bringing in another guest. So
okay,
let me select one of these callers here. And see if this will work. Okay. Hello? Okay. What we're going to do is continue and see if we can have this problem corrected. So, Jackie, what I wanted to say, or to kind of continue to communicate with the audience, is you have been a part of the most devastating period that the United States and nation has gone through, and we have you know, picked ourselves up, dusted ourselves off, and continued and got some semblance to what life could be after a catastrophe. And here we are now in the middle of another ordeal that we are just trying to scramble and to have life after or during this pandemic. Something that we have never experienced in the country, in the nation before, and it's worldwide. And so here we are trying to, but here you are, the trooper. You were flying on 9/11. You were doing your duties as a flight attendant. And here we are saying to you, how are you making it in these days of the pandemic? You are still flying. Audience, did you hear what I said? This young lady is still flying, and not only is she just flying, she's going to Narita, Japan. So, you are a trooper of our trooper. I tell you, we are definitely, oops, oh, my goodness. 1 second, yeah. Audience. I'm sorry that I have a delivery.
Hello? Okay, yes, bring it up to me, 4B, please. Thank you.
I am so sorry, but I had to take that because I am recovering from surgery and different things are being delivered from the hospital. So I had to take that. So excuse me, audience. I'm really sorry about that. But that's fine. This is my show. Yeah, this is my show. But, yes, so will you give us and tell us how can you – have the strength to be able to still go and make my audience be a little at ease, because a lot of people are not traveling. They're too afraid to travel, as I am. I'm still not going out to the airport. So give us some words of encouragement, how you do it and how you are going internationally.
Wow, Casey, that is a loaded question.
I'm telling you.
Let me try to address that as best I can. First of all, for you and your listeners, and some may already know, I have already been a victim of 11 terrorist attacks in my lifetime, even prior to my flying career. And I've been flying, I just started my 48th year. And I'm not conditioned, I just feel that God has placed me here. And I just have to face it and deal with it as best I can. I'm not ready to give it up yet. I still enjoy it. I call it my vacation. Every time I go to work, it's a vacation, even if it's 24 hours in a hotel room. I still enjoy it. Here's the bad part. There's no one on the airplane. There is no one in the concourse. There are businesses that are closed up. Businesses that are temporarily out of business, but those favorite shops that we frequent when we go on a trip, most of them are closed, and that's hurtful because you look forward to that.
Exactly.
I look forward to that. And if I just may take a moment to give you an example of my last trip, which was last week. We had 28 passengers in coach, 11 passengers in first class. 26 of the passengers in coach were going to China through Japan. Yes, they had to connect. They're trying to get home in different parts of China. No one can stay in Japan overnight unless you are a crew member or you are quarantined for 12 to 14 days. That is law. It's legal. It's written. It's everywhere. And
tell us the repercussions of breaking that, because as a flight attendant, tell the audience what you have to go through and tell us what the penalties are.
Okay. As a flight attendant, you have to go through customs and immigrations. It's very, very strict. They take your picture a couple of times. They fingerprint you. And then they give you this famous piece of paper that has a picture of a wing, like an airline wing, a crew wing, and right above the wing it says quarantine. And that's to let you know, as a crew member, you cannot leave your hotel. You can leave your room, but you can't leave the hotel. If you leave your hotel and you are caught, the first penalty is $6,000, $6,000 US. The second is 6 months plus imprisonment. They are very strict. They don't want you bringing that virus to their country. And it's not just Japan. It's all of Asia. And
oh, my goodness.
And the world. And here's a sadder part. We as U.S. citizens are not welcome around the world. They don't want us.
No.
They don't want us there.
That is so devastating, isn't it?
Because of our
number. We are not welcome.
We are not welcome globally. And that's an embarrassment, and it's hurtful. But that's how it is. And so I'm keeping my job as long as I can. I'm going to work as long as I'm healthy. I'm being careful. I'm following the rules. That's all I can do. But it's really sad. It's sad to see an empty concourse. It's sad to see 26 people on the airplane. It's sad to go through all the rigorous customs and immigrations, rules and regulations, but it's the country's requirement, and they have to do it, and they should do it for the safety.
But we're not welcome because, and this is my opinion,
not just as fighters. We're not welcome because we're coming from the USA into their country, and because our virus numbers are so great. And because we don't adhere to social distancing and a mask, of which they do. They're just the opposite. We're just not welcome. They don't like our standards. They don't like our rules. And they don't want
because
us.
Our leadership,
just not welcome.
Our leadership.
Because of our leadership.
Our leadership. And you're absolutely right. That it's, and we're not going to get political on this because it isn't about politics.
I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to get political. I'm just telling you how it is. I'm
Absolutely.
Telling you and your listeners, this is how it is globally. U.S. citizens are not welcome. Crews can stay overnight. We're exempt because we have so many rigorous rules and regulations that we must and we have to follow. But those people that were going to China, some of those flights, you know, are on airlines that don't operate often. And they actually came on board and made an announcement about some of those connecting flights that were not operating. They had to see an agent, which meant that they still have to go to China, somewhere in China, because they can't stay in Japan overnight because it's not permitted. And I didn't tell you that the least expensive one-way ticket from Japan to China is $3,500.
Oh,
But they want to get home.
$3,500 one way?
One way. And that's, you know, Japan to China is like from here to Chicago, 3 hours.
Oh, my goodness. But as you said earlier, you only have a few people that are doing it. And actually, it just seems, I would say, is in desperation of them trying to get home, because I'm sure they've been trying with all the government rules and regulations being implemented. I bet they've been trying a long time to try to get back.
And everybody can't afford $3,500 per person.
And
I mean,
everyone
cannot
afford $3,500. I know.
You have an infant. It's a lot of money, a lot of expense, and it has to be very stressful for them. I mean, I felt for them. I felt for those that were going on airlines that were not operating that day for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
Like canceled or just something happened and they weren't going, but they had to go somewhere in China. They had to get out of that country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Jackie, I'm going to try one more time to see if I can bring in a caller.
Okay.
And see if this person will work. Hello? Hello?
Okay, we're still. It's just you and me so far, right, Jack?
I'm telling
Diane.
You.
I hope you have listeners on the line.
And then Diane is still, yeah, okay. And then, okay, I'm moving from Diane. I'll put her back on mute here. Yes, nothing is working because I can see even when I go to mute, it is showing on my switchboard that the caller is on hold. And so I'm going to see. Hello?
Hello?
Caller? Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me again?
Oh, again.
Hello, it's Diane.
Oh, it's Diane again. All right, Diane, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to get away from you. Uh-huh, so that's the three of us. I'm going to put her on so we can make. So now I'm going to go back to the caller that I just spoke to, and I thought that was Diane again. I thought that's what she said. So, hello, is there a caller on? Is anyone out there? Hello?
They're in the atmosphere.
Hello? Hello.
Hello. Okay, Jackie, we do have someone else. Yes, is this another caller?
This is Marion Beckett.
Hello there. We do have someone else.
I'm like,
yay.
The switchboard
I'm
is really
so
just. I'm sorry?
I was trying something. It was muted.
Oh,
it's
my goodness.
Up.
Well, I tell you what, here we go. Now you are unmuted. I don't understand what's happening, but yes, would you like to make a comment or talk to Jackie or what would you like to say today? Tell us who you are and tell my audience who you are. So the floor is yours at the moment.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Marion Beckett, retired Delta flight. Hi. I am so moved by your story, especially with the 11 terrorist incidents. That was really just a shock. And the fact that you still have this courage, this stamina, this strength tells me a lot about you.
Oh,
that
thank
is
you.
You. And I am definitely going to share this information. I
thank you so
much. That to me has to be, that is the deepest from the inner part of my soul that I can say is that I admire your courage.
Thank
and
you.
She should get a medal.
Yes. She should get a medal. She should get an award. She should get the gold, purple, bronze star.
Because she's our hero.
Yes.
Because, you know, yes, she does. Thank you, Miriam. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Miriam.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had so much timing. Yes, and Jackie, I'll allow you to comment.
Miriam, I first of all want to thank you. You really warm my heart. But, you know, someone told me if you have lived 10 lives, then you're going to be okay. And I've already made it to 11. So, and now probably in 12 with the pandemic. I'm okay. I believe, and I just pray on it, and I have good good vibes, good friends, good family, great experiences, and I don't look back, but I don't.
You look forward.
I have not forgotten any of them.
You look forward.
And they made me the person I am today. I'm just moving forward. Thank you, Casey.
Give the audience give us an outline of what type of precautions the airlines are taking. And with that, Miriam, I'm going to put you back on hold so you can enjoy the show. And Jackie, please address that. Tell us what the audience, what procedures are being taken place now.
Okay. First of all, I really want to commend the airlines for stressing the mask, for trying their best to seat passengers apart for social distancing. And with their strictness and kindness, passengers are paying attention and they are abiding by the norm. This is the norm. This is the way to travel today. Even though I mentioned the concourse is empty, the airplane is empty, the whole atmosphere is empty. And there's so many shops in the airport that you would love to go to and little fast food restaurants that are all closed.
Yeah.
They're not available. You know?
Yes.
So, if you happen to travel, make sure you bring a little sack lunch. Because the package that you get on the airplane, I want you to just imagine, it's a clear plastic bag. It has the smallest bottle of water you've ever seen in your life. It has a trick-or-treat bag of pretzels and maybe some graham crackers. And that's it from coast to coast. So make sure you prepare when you fly. And don't worry, if you're drinking a beverage, you're not going to get ice unless you ask for it. You're not going to get any liquor in coach. You only get liquor in first class, not even beer or wine, unless you're traveling internationally. It's really, really slim down.
Oh, and you wear a mask the whole flight and the passengers.
I wear a mask for the 14 hours it takes me to travel from Newark to Narita, Japan.
Okay.
The only time I take it off is on my crew break and when I'm eating or drinking.
Okay.
But we can't risk it. We can't risk it. And so now we are in the 6th month, I think, today of the pandemic. And I count my blessings. I knock on wood. I'm very grateful that I have not fallen ill.
Okay. And that makes us feel better because that's what I have been doing is checking in with the flight attendants. And all of
and
them.
You must.
Yeah, and they all seem just like you. It's just a matter of doing and abiding by the precautions. Therefore, it is safe enough because the air has been circulated more, I was told.
Mm-hmm.
The filters have been upgraded
on
the airplane and in the airports.
That's very true. And speaking of that, if you happen to travel, you know anyone that's going to travel, tell them don't be alarmed about wiping down everything when they board the airplane because that airplane has been sprayed, it has been wiped down, it is good to go.
Okay.
If you want to use a wipe in between when you go into the bathroom or you want to use a wipe to put on the handle of the door of the bathroom, do that. But everything has been taken care of prior to you boarding the airplane. It's perfectly in good condition.
Okay.
And healthy condition.
Okay.
You know, but you'll get a wipe when you board the airplane. Flight attendant will give you a wipe. So use that when you have to. But you need not have to use it as soon as you sit down and board. On your tray table, your seat, your armrest, or any of that. You don't have to do that. It's not necessary. It's taken care of for you. It's in between. When you're getting up during the flight and you're walking back and forth or you're putting your hand on the seat back or, like I said, the knob of the bathroom or something, then you may want to have it handy.
Okay.
So that's good to know. Because a lot of people are doing that unnecessarily. Because
they
haven't
been
advised.
And that's excellent to know. And I'm glad, Jimmy, you're serving everything for me today on this interview. You're the past, you're the present. And You are definitely
still doing
because
it.
Yeah, you are. I'm telling you, I couldn't have picked a better person to do a interview today. But those are the things that I think people need to know. I just got certified as a COVID tracker, and so when I took the course, I learned a lot, which pushed me at ease because as I had said to you earlier, I'm recovering from some hip replacement surgery, and so medical
Ooh.
Things are coming and medical people
Ouch.
Are coming in.
But
they were very calm. And they just kind of put me at ease. I had my mask on. They had their mask on and their gloves. But they're just saying
it's transferred
through droplets. So if you're not,
mm-hmm.
not that you can't get it just from a person talking, but if they are screaming and they're you know,
mm-hmm.
expressing more droplets than normal, but the sneeze, of course, you know how powerful
sure.
that is. Then your
mm-hmm.
chances of just your everyday having a mask, I have a mask, you have a mask, your chances of catching anything, even if that person is contagious at that point, is very low. It's the transfer of a sneeze, of the droplets. So let's
mm-hmm.
just practice what we know, and this is for my
sure.
audience, wear a
okay.
mask. Insist on
exactly.
wearing a mask, and of course, don't go into these large crowds and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of the airline, you really have helped me feel comfortable because if you're flying to Japan and you didn't retire, I'm going to feel real comfortable getting on the airplane and going to see someone in Florida that's my boyfriend. And so I will feel comfortable getting on the airplane to go to Florida with using those precautions.
Exactly. I agree with you, but I must add something to that. Every country is not quite the same because
okay.
the previous week I was in Delhi, India, and the precautions were not nearly the same as Japan.
And the same meaning
so
they were not.
You just got to be ready. You've got to be ready for wherever you're going.
Okay,
just
but let me clarify that because I didn't understand. Not as thorough? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's
they don't
what
do
I said.
All that we expect you to have
not,
done?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Okay, so my advice to you and the listeners is
don't
to
go to India.
take precautions, use them wisely, and be careful. Protect yourself.
Well,
so
in the United States,
for a while.
I don't blame you
in
for what you're
States,
saying.
Well, there's nobody flying in the United States. The concourse are empty. Remember, you can get
yeah.
the security with the breeze.
Oh my goodness.
But have everything you need. Just be careful, be healthy, and take care of yourself. You'll be fine.
Well, as we said for 9/11, because this is the tribute for 9/11, as we said
yes.
and as we did and as we lived through, we shall get through this. It will be difficult. It is a change. But let us all be prayerful and remember we will get through this. And as you have just brought us into the second part of the interview, we will get through these changes too. And as you said, the most important thing you can say is be careful. And the second,
be careful.
Yeah, and wear a mask because this is the simplest, you know, it's the craziest thing to me. If this thing was airborne and there was nothing you could do, I understand as being, you know, paranoid. My sister won't even come out. She's still in the house, you know. You know, you talk to her through a glass door. But the point of it is
I know many people the same way, many.
Okay, but the simple thing is wear a mask. That's the easiest thing that we could do to help bring this down. And as I said, I'm not becoming political. If we get the proper leadership that can coordinate and get us all on the same page, we can come out of this a lot faster. And that is,
and we'll be safer.
And so the next thing, you will be safer.
Healthier.
And the next thing is remember all that you're learning, all that you're seeing, all that we're experiencing, and remember to vote. Remember to vote.
Of course.
and make it your decision. Well, I think I am going to try again and see if we can find someone else. And then at that point, I will let you go and take your time to really get yourself back together again, because I know you are still dealing with everything, the reality of what today is. And I really appreciate that you've taken the time to come and talk. So, but let me try one more person and see if this technical issue has been resolved. And so let me see if I can get this caller in. Hello, this is Casey, host of the Fly Girl Show. Hello, do I have anyone online?
Hi.
Hello. Maybe it's working now. Hello there. Would you please tell me, state your name, and do you have a question for Jackie?
Hi, I'm Deborah Davis. I am a retired United Airlines flight attendant, and
ooh,
I've enjoyed listening to the show so far. And I just wanted to say, you know, in remembrance of our flying partners that were lost in 9/11, today I started out a bit emotional as I reflected on flight attendant, my flying days. As I said, I'm retired. And I sent a prayer for the spirits of my flying partners, our flying partners that lost their lives in 9/11. I didn't have any close personal friends, but they were my coworkers. And so I sent a prayer for their spirit. And as you say, you know, with something challenging for all of us, then we got through it. But I always take a moment to reflect on those who, you know, have lost their lives under the conditions and the situation that we dealt with in 9/11.
Absolutely. But Jackie, did you want to respond?
I'm just feeling everything you just said, and I'm sure the listeners are feeling the same. And thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie, for sharing all that you have shared.
Thank you. We all have a story.
Yeah, that's all I wanted. I've been listening, and the show is good, and I'm glad I was able to get through and just, you know, in tribute in remembrance of them.
Why, thank you
for
all,
not just our flying partners, but all that lost their lives, the first responders and all of that. But, yeah.
For sure.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking this time to honor and remember.
Yes.
Thank you also.
And
appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for calling in. Thank you so much. And I'm going to try and see if we can get one more. That worked. I was happy with that. That was nice.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Nice
thank
of
you
to
so
call.
Much,
thank
ladies.
You.
Okay.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, that's wonderful. Let me see if I can get one more and see if this will work. Maybe things are working. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Hello, is anyone there? Hello?
Uh-oh.
Okay, so it's just me and you, Jack. Okay.
All okay.
right, that call.
No problem.
That caller is
no
still,
problem.
It didn't work on that caller's call. Okay. All right, then, I tell you what, that I think, as I've said, I think we have hit from A to Z. I think that we have gotten the emotional part, and we dealt with it, and we kind of came out on the other side of that. But this is a day, as I said, we will never forget. We will never forget. And so for those that tried to call in, I'm so sorry I wasn't able to bring you in today. Technical difficulty prevented me from doing that. But I hope that you enjoyed the show. And as I said, I could not have picked a better person. She is not only the co-founder of Black Flight Attendants of America, which is an organization I belong to and I'm very happy for all that they do or we do. So I'm so glad to be able to have brought her in as the founder of that. She is also an active, listen to those words, audience, she is still flying the skies. I can't believe it. And so for all of that, she was one of those definitely that was in the action on the day this terrible day we all went through 19 years ago, and then she brought us back to the pandemic. So with that, she even gave us some reassurance of if you are going to fly, listen to the things that Jackie said to do and to get on the airplanes. Let's bring back the service. Let's help the airlines to survive and be safe. and be mm-hmm. safe. And that's the most important thing, because we really have to get back to some semblance of something that's normal to life, the way we knew it before. So with that, in closing, Jackie, would you like to say anything to my audience? Would you like to give another plug to the Black Flight Attendant Association?
First of all, again and again, I want to thank the listeners and thank you, Casey, for having me on your show. And hopefully the 20th anniversary will bring us to a larger audience, a larger awareness, and we will be in a better world.
I trust that that is going to happen. I really do. I think that we will be in a better place on this terrible day, the somber day of September 9/11. So I think so. I think that we'll be able to embrace it. Our hearts will be less wounded, less tender, because it would be 20 years, but it will still be something we will never forget. We will always be emotional. We will always tear up. But it's for us to always have a radio show that will always let the world know we remember. And it's always good for me to have a guest like you. So keep flying.
Thank you. And we'll keep sharing, keep learning.
Yes.
Be healthy. Stay safe.
Okay, and thank you so much. Okay, and with that, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to end this show. And once again, as I said, this is Casey Grant. I am the host of the Fly Girl Show, and I usually tag on I'm the producer, but since we're having technical difficulty, I don't know if I want to claim that tag today.
Not today.
But it's not my fault. It's not my fault. But anyway,
Casey, thank you for having us.
Thank you. All right, bye, Jackie. So
okay,
with that,
bye, everyone.
I will sign off, and I hope that you will join me again. Please stay tuned, because my normal day is Wednesday, and it's usually at 11. But because of different shows, different topics that come up, I do find it necessary to schedule any day that I find necessary to air a particular topic. So please just stay tuned and look at my website. And once again, this is Casey Grant. I am the host of the Fly Girl Show, and I look forward to you sending me information. If you have a topic you would like me to discuss, please just send that information in. But until then, until we have another show that's informative or enlightening, I'd like to sign off and say this is Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show. Please stay tuned. Enjoy your day. It's a somber day, but we still must rejoice. We must rejoice in all the good things that we do have and not dwell too deeply on some of the things that we have lost. So with that, I am going to sign off, and you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you.